Albert Breer was with us yesterday, and occasionally this happens where we have so many things we're trying to do before the end of the show that we don't get to react to everything Albert gave us. And I can't remember if it was Dusty or me. We asked the question about off-season acquisitions as Mike Vrabel seems to be the hit of camp. He seems to be in every video. The Browns have made him available. And Albert even kind of acknowledged yesterday how unusual that was, and then got into whether Vrabel or Jerry Jeudy was the best off-season acquisition this year.
I think the difference between that and the acquisition of Jerry Jeudy is you know what you're getting with Vrabel, right? Like, you can kind of have him do whatever you need him to do on a day-to-day basis, and he can be a great resource for you. Where with Jerry Jeudy, it's a little bit of like, all right, this is a swing for the fences, and we'll see what it becomes. Now, you might find out that, you know, the injury problems persist, and he's not much more than he was in Denver, or he becomes what we all thought he was going to be when he was a, you know, top 20 pick 4 years ago. And, you know, I know the Browns really felt good about Jerry Jeudy when they traded for him, and that getting him around Amari Cooper should help, because Amari Cooper's got a very similar background to him. South Florida guy, Alabama guy that, you know, that Jerry really looked up to. And so, you know, you're swinging for the fences with him, and it could wind up being a great value. And a guy who, you know, I know when he was coming out, like, one of the comps I got on him was Marvin Harrison, senior, not junior, right? Like, that he could be that sort of receiver. If you get that out of him, obviously it's going to be a better acquisition, but it's a little bit more of a hit or miss than Vrabel is.
So I think that's interesting. I do think we have very strong expectations for Jerry Jeudy, and that it's easier for Jerry Jeudy to not live up to those expectations because he's a player and we're going to see every single thing he does. But I continue to come back to this idea. Mike Vrabel, as a consultant, brilliant idea. And I do think that there are a lot of ways intangibly that he can help, and probably already has. There's no way he can have a bigger impact on the Browns this season than Jerry Jeudy. Unless Jerry Jeudy doesn't play this year.
Because Jerry Jeudy's actually on the field?
Yes, yes. I'm trying to think of like the other big additions. I mean, that Jerry Jeudy kind of was it. Jordan Hicks, your new middle linebacker. As long as Jordan Hicks plays for most of the season, he's going to have more an impact on how this thing goes one way or another than Mike Vrabel.
Yeah.
And that's not to disrespect Vrabel, because I think you're seeing Browns fans react to Vrabel, and I think that's really awesome. And I think it's a good thing for him. I think it's a good thing for the Browns. I think it's a brilliant idea by Kevin and Andrew.
Kevin.
But like, for Jerry Jeudy to not end up as the bigger acquisition. Oh, how about this? If Jerry Jeudy is just who he was in Denver, he's still a bigger addition than Mike Vrabel. What say you?
I mean, I guess you can't really quantify like what Vrabel means to this team, because he's not a position coach. He's not a coordinator.
He's not the head coach.
You don't even understand or know how much impact he's going to have on the team. I mean, he's got the bigger name. He's got the better track record for what he does for his specific job. But if you ask me if I'd rather have Tom Brady or have Bill Belichick, give me Brady all day. Like, the player has an impact on the game.
And I think what's interesting is Albert's not the only person saying Vrabel as the better offseason acquisition than Jeudy. But I think that speaks a lot to the perception of players.
Yeah.
And the worst thing you can be perceptionally is you didn't live up to your draft status. I think that's a huge part of this. If you actually look at the average raw numbers of Jerry Jeudy, there's a lot of good there. There's not a lot of great there. Although, certainly, his ability to separate, his ability to make plays down the field, there actually are some like key things that will tell you, hey, this could be really special. But what I can't figure about with the Jerry Jeudy thing is, why we talk about this guy like you moved heaven and earth to get him. I don't know if it's the contract extension, which people most certainly didn't like. I don't know if it's that people were expecting T. Higgins and they got Jerry Jeudy. And to this point, those are the production level of those two players is very different. But like, when it comes back down to it, this idea that the only way Jerry Jeudy is going to be successful or a successful acquisition is if the guy becomes, I don't know, Amari Cooper with ridiculous speed. You gave up fifth and sixth round picks for him.
I mean, you didn't give up a ton.
it's almost like we've started with a negative mentality on Jerry Jeudy. And I'm not, this is not just a Cleveland thing. Like, it's a, football has a negative opinion of Jerry Jeudy because he hasn't been worth the 15th pick in the 2020 NFL draft yet. And Mike Vrabel, nobody can believe this guy didn't get a head coaching job. He's incredibly impressive. And he's in a great role that's very visible. So it's like, it's a battle of perception. Maybe one of the most popular members of the Browns, like 4 months into being hired, 6 months into being hired, Mike Vrabel, and a guy who I think people are like, well, I'll like Jerry Jeudy when he earns it.
There's a lot of people out there like that. And, yeah. And I think it's just the contract.
Which is wild. They didn't pay him.
No, but it's a big number. It's like a sticker shock for fans who are like, oh, that's kind of a big number for a guy who's done nothing.
So he's outside the top 20 in almost every major category contractually. Now, 2 years from now, when, by the way, Amari's going to get paid again, when T. Higgins is going to get paid, when all these other guys are going to get paid, within a year, he could be outside the top 30 in those key metrics with the amount of wide receivers that are going to get paid. Because here, by the way, I mentioned the guys that should get paid that money. There's going to be guys that have no business getting paid that money that get paid more than Jerry Jeudy. So
I understand that.
Like, and it's
the goal behind the contract was to get him basically early. You're kind of betting that he's going to become, you know, something that is, I don't know if he's number one, but like a legitimate number two.
So, you paid him like a number two receiver. I think if you look at the contract, and again, in a year, that's probably going to be outside the top 30 in all the major contractual things for wide receivers. You basically paid him like who he was in Denver. Because if you're not one of the top 32 wide receivers, you're getting paid like the 33. You got paid like a number two receiver. By the way, that's if all you do is you average out what he was in Denver. And I know consistency is a huge problem, but I wonder if some of this is also blowback on Elijah Moore, where I think we had such high expectations for Elijah. Real quick, Jax, did you just almost vomit on the board? I'm sorry here. I look over, and Jax clearly has a gigantic belch going on. And I saw him.
Did he hold it in?
He stifled it. He held it in. Are you okay?
You, man.
I'm completely fine, yeah.
All right, because we just had the reverse situation when I came on air. I drank too much water right before I went on air and had to stifle it. And Jax looked at me like, are you okay? And at mid-sentence, I look over and I see Jax just go, I'm like, okay, all right, okay, we can get back to the show. I have no idea. I think some of this is because of Elijah Moore not panning out last year in a very similar deal.
Yeah, I mean, Elijah was, what, a second-round pick?
It was a two for Elijah and a third.
I'm saying he originally was a second-round pick.
Yeah.
Drafted high with a lot of potential, didn't pan out, and hasn't done anything here. I mean, made a couple plays.
So I feel like you've answered this already, but the burp gate over here has completely thrown me off.
Do you want me to chime in about some burps?
What's going to be the bigger offseason? When we get through this season, what are we going to look back and go, that's the thing that made or almost didn't make the season, Vrabel or Jeudy?
I think it depends who you are.
Is it because I made too good of an argument against Mike Vrabel that now you feel guilty if you take Mike Vrabel?
It was a good argument.
Because I feel like most people are in the camp of Vrabel. And I think that has a lot more to do with our, and it should. Every time I hear that dude talk, I'm like, that's a head coach. And I think there are people out there rooting he'll be the next Ohio State head coach. I guarantee there are people in town who would take him over Kevin Stefanski right now, which I think is...
It's
crazy.
Insane, asinine.
Yeah. Like, most years we could do the Vrabel or Browns existing head coach, and it's a very
Yeah,
valid.
I mean, any
it's
head coach
now.
They've had since they've been back, you'd take Vrabel over.
Yeah, but it's not you can't have it now because you were just in the playoffs.
Like, listen, if Stefanski had a rough season this year,
mm-hmm.
and Vrabel's still here, yeah, okay, then we'll take the calls.
Oh,
and
man.
I'm not even saying that it's even a potential thing that could happen, Nick. But people will say that after this year. My point is, to even think that now, you're an idiot.
I think, but here's the thing. I wasn't O-manning that you're wrong. If the Browns start 1-4, I don't know if it's a loud minority or if they're just loud in general, whether it's going to be the same people that now think, you know, Stefanski's overrated for some reason, but like the only, because it's not going to matter. It's not like Jimmy's going to hear Chuck in Medina County call in and be like, I think you should make Vrabel the head coach, and be like, candidly, I'll think that's right. Sorry, Jimmy, I don't have a good Haslam. But the point is, it's not going to, but it
that
is.
That was your Haslam? Let me hear it one more time.
Candidly, I think he was right. It's a lot of fog. I was thinking Foghorn Leghorn, and none
Same
of it's
difference.
Good. It's very, very unintentionally disrespectful to folks from the South, and I apologize immediately. I can do better to all the Haslams.
And you will.
To Jimmy, to D, Cletus, all of them. That's on me, dog.
That's the one.
Well, hear me out on this one, though. Like, for the people that are not saying Mike Vrabel, and maybe it's you guys, and obviously if Jerry Jeudy puts up 1,000 yards, this is a non-conversation. Like, mm-hmm. That would mean that he played well, Deshaun played well, everything. But Mike Vrabel coming in, as Albert said, it's basically like having an extra head coach or coordinator. He's been working with the tight ends and David Njoku. He's been working with Bubba Ventrone with the special team. So his presence can be felt in a lot of different places. Has just the thought that you guys and probably everybody else assumes that he's only going to be here for 1 year, does that play into it? Because his impact, if he's only here for 1 year, could still be big, but you feel like that kind of drops off if he's just gone after the season.
No, not really. If he was a coordinator, I'd probably be answering this differently.
Right, but
it's the fact that his job is pretty nebulous, and like I'm not saying there's not value. But like I can, 800 yards is worth more to me on the field from Jerry Jeudy than this kind of generic idea of I worked with David Njoku.
Yeah, I mean
David Njoku's still the guy that's got to go out there and play the football.
I get that, production over everything, but the fact is like he could be helping put game plans together based on his experience as a defensive guy with the offense now, or vice versa. Like he could be assisting Jim Schwartz in those areas. Like, I think we can't overlook the game plan part of things. That's Ken Dorsey. He's not even calling plays, but they switched offensive coordinators because they're going to install different offense or different variations of the offense.
So what's more valuable? An elite game planner, meaning somebody that can help you, not even, he's not making the game plans. He's just helping make the game plan. Or a average level wide receiver,
way,
which is what I think we call like a number two wide receiver.
Yeah, I'd say if he's helping the tight ends or any other part of the offense, that in turn might be helping Deshaun.
I'll still take, maybe it's because I watched like Cindric Steptoe be the number two wide receiver for half a season. Maybe it's because I've seen what like below average replacement player means to you on the field when you had a bunch of really bright like football guys. Like Romeo was your head coach. And that was the Chudzinski year. And then you had Mel Tucker. Like, you had a bunch of football lifers. It didn't matter when Cindric Steptoe was your number two wide receiver.
Oh, that's a throwback.
Had to. When Steve Sanders, who we love, Bowling Green's finest fellow Ivy Leaguer, Steve Sanders was your number
guy.
When he was your number three wide receiver, it didn't matter who was game planning. Like, that at least at that point in his career, I'm now just adding a racer phrase because I feel immediate Falcon on Falcon slander, which is un-Falcon believable here on a F off Friday. But no.
Are you Falcon around?
I'm almost always doing so as an Ivy League.
Thoughts?
So Keith actually put this poll out yesterday after we talked. I think it was in advance to the show. So, I mean, it stayed up for more than 24 hours. And it was, who is the bigger offseason addition for the Browns? I'd say 600 votes. I'm actually surprised by this, that 57% of people agree with me. And Kevin on Twitter saying, any personnel member who will not be there on game day or have any game day duties will never be more important than a between-the-lines player. Never. The only playoff win in the Kevin Stefanski era came with him in his basement. This town is nuts. And then our buddy Chip pointing out, fellow Buckeye, by the way, pointing out that Vrabel said in his presser that he'd be watching next week's opponents during the season.
Okay.
So
I missed that.
If he had
Apologies.
A game day role, if you saw Vrabes on the sideline and he's in there, he's just nits and grits with your favorite players. He's challenging Jameis Winston to a foot race. In the middle of a game, would that change the value perspective for you? I feel like you just want to save Vrabel, but you don't want to.
I mean,
you don't want to get jammed up by me.
I just think that it depends on who you ask after the season as to how much Vrabel gets, how much credit he gets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no one will really be able to quantify how much value he brought. But if the Browns make a run, or they, I don't know, you start seeing stuff. They start throwing to Myles Garrett in the red zone.
Yeah. You know, so I mean, if they do anything cool, anything creative, like
that, oh God, it's going to go all on Vrabel's plate.
You know what's funny about that is Kevin Stefanski has done that stuff, and it's been the stuff that people have bitched about for 4 years.
Oh, yeah.
I can't believe he called that aggressive play there. I wouldn't have done that with this guy, but if it, because Mike Vrabel's on the staff, it's just going to get like, well, it must be Vrabel doing it. That's totally because he's from here, right?
Yes.
If Mike, okay. Exact same qualifications. What he did at Ohio State, what he did at... Actually, no. NFL player, Super Bowl player, had coached at Ohio State, but hadn't played at Ohio State. What he did in Tennessee, but he's from Kentucky, and he went to the University of Kentucky. Are we as bad out of hell in love with Mike Vrabel and giving him the kind of credit? Mm-hmm.
No.
So is it because he's from here, or is it because he's a Buckeye?
It's probably more both. Like, dude went to high school in this area, also went to Ohio State, was a superstar, played in the league forever, all the championships. And then, I mean, the guy's just really won everywhere he's been his whole life. The guy's just a winner, flat out.
So it's interesting. What's won me over with Vrabel is just that he's a bit of a meathead. Because we've talked about, and I do think, listen, if they struggle at all this season, there's going to be the Vrabel calls. And there's nothing we can do about it. And the best we can do is take the call and be like, "Are we? Come on. Like, look what Kevin has done. Let's not forget what he's done. Let's be patient here." Same time, Mike Vrabel looks and acts a lot more like a head coach than... So for what our ideal is of a head coach, let me make sure that... Than Kevin.
Kevin doesn't necessarily look like what you would think is a typical head coach.
One, he's too good looking. I think that.
Well, there's that, and he just, yeah, it's probably just the good looking. Yeah, well, like, he's just awesome.
And then his personality. So to me, it's actually more about his personality.
Yeah.
I can even get frustrated with it. Like when they're struggling and he refuses to say anything of merit. I get frustrated with that stuff, too. It doesn't mean I want him fired, but, like, you can say blibbity-blobbity-blue if you're 13-4. You cannot say that if you're 4-13.
Correct.
And what Vrabel does really, really well, and it's not a lost art because it's a personality thing. Football guys, I feel like, when I say football guys, I'm talking about dudes who are a little bit meathead. I'm not talking Dan Campbell level and, you know, kneecap biting sons of guns. I'm talking about like just the Schottenheimers, who are really, really intelligent guy, but also was no BS. Yeah, no, that guy didn't do this. He's out. Don't care. We got a way to doing things, either conform or get out. There's really no difference in successful coaches in terms of how they handle that stuff. It's just whether they externalize it. And I've never felt like I've gotten coach speak for Mike Vrabel. And I do think that's something that people like here. I think it's why everybody took the bait with Freddie Kitchens. I think that's why every once in a while I'll still hear somebody be like, man, how different would it be if Greg Williams had been the head coach? Well,
yeah, be very different.
It'd be very different, but I don't know it'd be as good. I think that part of the thing really does matter with Mike Vrabel.